Morning. So let's just review a quick review of what we did yesterday on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph. We began the sugya of Iser Ishtamshus B'Ner Chanukah. We're not allowed to benefit on a personal use for Ner Chanukah. However, if we want to benefit from the Ner Chanukah for the sake of another mitzvah, that the Gemara seems to allow. However, we mentioned yesterday that there is one possibility that the prohibition against using the Ner Chanukah is all-inclusive, applying even to a case of a mitzvah. So, for example, if I were to light my Ner Chanukah on my table, and we had a long discussion about that possibility, and then on a Friday night I'm eating my Suda Shabbos Li'ar HaNer, so the Ner Chanukah is now illuminating my Shabbos table, and I have a mitzvah of Suda Shabbos, according to most opinions, that would be mutter. But we have one opinion that says that the status of Ner Chanukah, as far as the Iser Ishtamshus, is all inclusive. There's no exception. Not even for the sake of a mitzvah, you'll add a benefit from the Ner Chanukah. So, for example, besides the case that I gave you of Suda Shabbos, let's say I want to read a Sefer, and I need the illumination in order to see the print on the Sefer, so I'm being mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Am I allowed to use the Ner Chanukah for Talmud Torah? So here we have one Shita, and that's the Baal HaMa'ar, Rabbi Nizrachi al-Levi. He was of the opinion that when Rav on Daf Chaf Aleph on Bey says Osur l'shtamesh l'ner Chanukah, he means Osur l'shtamesh klalu klal afilu l'tzorech mitzvah, that is an all-inclusive Easter. And he says why? We don't find such a thing by other mitzvahs. If we classify Ner Chanukah as a typical Cheftishal mitzvah, like any other mitzvah, then we don't find an all-inclusive Isur that you can't use it for the sake of another mitzvah. But here he says Ner Chanukah is different. And there's an element here of Asur L'shtamesh Li'or that has nothing to do with mitzvah, with the fact that Ner mitzvah, but rather because of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And what they did was, when they established the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, they elevated the status of the Ner to that of the Ner Shebemigdash. And the Ner Shebemigdash is Kodesh, and therefore you're not allowed to have any benefit whatsoever from the Ner in the Migdash, from the Menorah itself, even for the sake of another mitzvah. And if Ner Chanukah is being elevated to the status of a Ner Shebemigdash, then it has an all-inclusive Isur B'Torah's Hegdesh. So now we're not talking about a mitzvah. The Ner is not just a mitzvah on Chanukah, but it's got a status of a Hegdesh. And that's an unbelievably high-powered status that generates an Isur Hegdesh that includes even L'shem mitzvah. Why did they make this equation, this analogy between Ner Chanukah and Ner Shebemigdash? Says the Baal HaMa'ar, because since the miracle took place in the menorah, in the Migdash, that they lit, and it lasted for 8 days, there was only enough oil for one day, therefore they made the menorah into the status of, they gave the menorah and the Ner the status of Ner Shebemigdash.
Is that like a Gezeira and a Gezeira?
Well, we're not talking about Gzeiras here, we're talking about mitzvahs. You know, in Gzeira, you're right, there are all sorts of limitations. But when we're talking about being metaken a mitzvah, and what the goal of the mitzvah, and the purpose of the mitzvah is, meaning when you, the way the Chazal obligated you in this mitzvah, and they have the authority to do so under Lo Sos, or V'asisa K'chol She Yerucha, is what they did was, they took the menorah in the Migdash, and they superimposed it, so to speak, on the menorah that you're lighting on Chanukah. And they said, your menorah in your house, or Pesach Beis HaMikdash, is the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. To the extent in which the mitzvah of Baloschas HaNeros that was incumbent upon the Kohanim still exists even today, in a different form, in a different place, and it's not limited to the Kohanim, but it's an extension of the original mitzvah. And according to the Baal HaMa'ar, the nafkamina is that if it's an extension of the original Ner Shebemigdash, it's got an absolute all-inclusive Isur Hana, meaning you're not allowed to benefit from the Ner Chanukah. So again, Doc, we're not talking about Gzeiras over here. Keep in mind, that Gzeira means, like the Mishnah says at the beginning of Avos, Asu Siyag LaTorah, that if we make a fence around the Torah, we tell you, don't do this, don't put chicken and milk on the same plate, because you might come to eat it together. That's called Gzeira. Here we're talking about a mitzvah. Now, if the mitzvah requires that I duplicate the Mikdash, and now the Ner Chanukah becomes elevated to the status of a Ner Sheva Mikdash, and that's the Zecher of Mikdash, then whatever Dinim apply to the menorah in Mikdash are now ipso facto going to apply to my menorah. You know, on an emotional level, you can say that, you know, here's my humble little Ner Chanukah, it's no big deal, but it's more than just a humble little Ner Chanukah. It's now elevated to the status of a Ner Sheva Mikdash. And that's what the Brisa Masechta Sofrim says, which many of us know by heart, Haneros Halolu Kodeshem, the Eimon Rishus Lishtavish Ben. So the Eimon Rishus Lishtavish Ben is not a Gzera. The Eimon Rishus Lishtavish Ben is just a reflection of the status of the Ner. When the Rabbanon enacted the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, they gave the Ner a special status. So my Nafgimina, number one, I can't use the Ner even to illuminate my Suda Shabbos, which is a mitzvah, even to illuminate the Sefer that I want to read, which is a mitzvah. And that halacha is unique to Ner Chanukah. It would not apply, there's no parallel in any other mitzvah. Because any other mitzvah, you're not allowed to be mavaza the mitzvah, you know, you can't downgrade the mitzvah and, so to speak, insult the mitzvah. But if you're using the mitzvah to benefit you for another mitzvah, that would be okay. But not so when you have a din of Hegdesh. If you apply the standards of Hegdesh to the menorah, to the Chanukah menorah, that takes on a whole new status.
This is a mitzvah, it's a derabbanan, and you not allowed to do a deraisa on the basis.
It's almost like you're giving the status of this mitzvah derabbanan a deraisa status. To what extent? The Ravid says that on a mitzvah derabbanan, like Mikra Megillah, we're going to make a bracha asher kicharim tosasonim al. The Gemara in Psachim has a difference between al and lib. Many brachas you'll notice are with a lamed, like for example on the tefillin. Other brachos are with an al, like al mikra Megillah. So the Ravid says that if it's a mitzvah doraisa, we make the bracha with a lamed, like lehaniyat tefillin. If it's a mitzvah derabbanan, like Mikra Megillah, we make the bracha with an al. So the Ravid, this is the last Ravid in his Hasogas and Hilchos Brachos, so he asks the following question. If Mikra Megillah, you make the bracha with an al because it's derabbanan, then what should be the bracha on Ner Chanukah? Al, correct? Al adlokas Ner Chanukah. Yet the bracha on Ner Chanukah is lahadlik, there with a lamed, similar to tefillin. But tefillin is doraisa, Chanukah is only derabbanan. Says the Ravid that this bracha was established at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when they lit the menorah on a daily basis, it was Asher Kinshanu, it's also Tzivanu Lahadlik Ner Sheva Mikdash. And that nusach with a lamed reflected the fact that the mitzvah is Doraisa. Says the Ravid, they maintained the same nusach HaBracha even after the Churban HaBayis, when they established the bracha on Chanukah, and therefore Chanukah is going to be the same lahadlik with the lamed as lahadlik ner shel mikdash. And I think the only way you can understand this, Rav, is if you accept the Baal Amar that they gave the ner Chanukah the status of ner shel mikdash. The zecher here is to the zecher of what went on in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore the bracha is going to be the identical bracha that applies to Ner Sheva Menorah Sheva Mikdash, even though that mitzvah is Doraisa and this mitzvah of Chanukah is only Derabbanan. Are you beginning to see the implications here of grafting onto the Ner Chanukah the status of Ner Sheva Mikdash? Number one, Haneros Halolu Kodeshem Eilon Rishus Behem. Says the Baal Amar, Lishtamishbem Klal, Afilu Litzarech Mitzvah, and the Nusach HaBracha is now going to reflect the Nusach HaBracha as they recited it back at the time of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. There's another Ravid, by the way. I don't know if you're familiar with this. There's an enterprise called Moriah, and what they do is they publish manuscripts. And they found a manuscript that's attributed to the Ravid. In other words, not that the Ravid himself wrote it, but it's a manuscript of someone who copied over, it goes all the way back to the Ravid. The Ravid wants to know, listen carefully, can I take a candle and just plop it on my desk or on my sill and light it as an Ner Chanukah. Without what? Without a menorah. You hear the question?
Oh, just the right one.
When I was a youngster in high school and we lit Ner Chanukah in the dormitories, that's exactly what we did. We didn't always have a menorah. You know, later on they had these cheap menorahs, you can get them for a couple of cents, but the Ravid says no. There's no way that you can fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah without a menorah. Why? Because the mitzvah is to remember the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. I believe that the Ravid is l'shitaso. He's very consistent. That he accepted this concept that the Ner Chanukah was defined in the enactment of the Chachamim as a Ner Shebemigdash. It had the same status as a Ner Shebemigdash. And if you must have a menorah. Because in the Migdash, if you just plop down seven candles and you lit them without a menorah, you would not be Yotze, the mitzvah of Valoscha es Haneros. Valoscha es Haneros means Neros Shebemenorah. And here too, in the case of Chanukah, we require a menorah. Here's another nafkamina to the fact that our menorah, our Chanukah candles, are Zeichel LeMikdash. Some really important repercussions here to this analogy between Ner Chanukah and Ner Shem HaMikdash, which all applies based on this Baal HaMaor's breakthrough that also Lishtavish Ben Afilu Tzarech Mitzvah, because it has the status of the Ner Shem HaMikdash. You know that there's a gigantic machlokas all over Shas on the following issue with regard to mitzvos. Mitzvos tzrichos kavana or ein tzrichos kavana. So for example, if a person blows a shofar not for the sake of the mitzvah of shofar, but for the sake of its musical sounds, then the Gemara says, if mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana yu yotze. The Gemara even goes as far as to say that somebody forces you on the night of Pesach to eat matzah, then you yotze, because mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. But Rabbeinu Yonah, who was the great Sephardic rabbi in Spain at the time of the Rishonim, he writes in the Masechta Brachos that the exception to this rule, and here's a case where everybody agrees that mitzvah tzrichos kavana, is a mitzvah sheyesh ba machshava, a mitzvah that has a thought process in it. Like, for example, tefillah. Tefillah requires a certain mental mode of thinking, or an attitude. So let me ask you the following question. If I paskin that mitzvah ein tzrichos kavana, and kavana is not critical for a mitzvah, what about Ner Chanukah? Let's say a person lights Ner Chanukah and he has nothing in mind other than just lighting the candles. He happens to do it in the right place at the right time. Everything he gets right. Like the case of a person who blows a tekiah shvarim true tekiah for musical purposes. Would he be yotzei the mitzvah of Chanukah? So l'chor, the answer would be yes. I'm going to claim no. Why not? Because here, since the Baal HaMaor says that what you're obligated to do through the Ner Chanukah is to remember, what do you have to remember? The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash? Because that's the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, Zecher. Zecher is a mental state of remembering the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says in many different places in Shas that we have to remember the Beis HaMikdash in different ways. For example, we remember the Beis HaMikdash by taking the lulav called Shiva, that's the Takon Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We remember the Mikdash by eating Korech, according to Hillel. We remember the Mikdash by reciting Sfiras Omer, counting the Omer, even though today we don't have a Mikdash. But we remember the Mikdash as if the Omer was brought. All these are fulfillments of Zeichel HaMikdash. We are obligated to remember the Mikdash. And the Gemara Masechta Sukkah derives this from a pasuk in Tanakh, in Yeshaya Novi, that we have to remember the Mikdash. Remembering is a mitzvah sheva machshav. So Rabosai, next time, which will come, where are we holding now? We're at what date are we up to in Cheshvan? Are we
22?
So a month from today, plus 3 days. Okay, you're going to be lighting the Chanukah candles. Please remember that you should have in mind Zeichel HaMikdash, because according to the Ravid and according to the Baal HaMaor, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to remember the Mikdash. And that would be another implication or nafkamina to the fact that the Ner Chanukah is Zechel HaMikdash. We're now going to pass the mitzvah Tzrichas Kavanah, because Zechel HaMikdash cannot be fulfilled without remembering the Mikdash. So if you're just doing it as a robotic act mechanically because you want to light candles, that's not Zechel HaMikdash.
It's named by Kiddush, Zechel HaSim Mitzrayim. So if you don't have Kavanah for that in Zechira, then are you not Yotze?
Well, I would say Zechel Maisa Bracious. I don't know that Zechel Itzis Mitzrayim. In other words, on the Lail of Pesach, the night of Pesach, there's a mitzvah of remembering Itzis Mitzrayim. Now, Kiddush also has an element of Itzis Mitzrayim. But if you're asking about Kavana in Kiddush, I would say that your primary Kavana, first and foremost, the absolutely nitty gritty, is remembering that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the universe. And that's the essence of Kiddush, to declare that on Shabbos he rested, and during the 6 days of Maisa he created the universe. You want to add to boot on top of that, the cherry on top is Zechel Yitzis Mitzrayim, that's already more sophisticated. But certainly, you know, you have to remember the Kedusha Shabbos, which is a reflection of God's creation.
Bye-bye.
Just 1 second, before we answer questions, let me just make sure that we have the Gemara down pat. You know, of course you came a little late, so let's just review the Gemara. So the Gemara says the following. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi, and this you'll see approximately, let's say, 15 lines down from the top. Asur lahartzos mos keneged ner Chanukah. In other words, this is a bizayon, this is a downgrading of the Ner Chanukah. We have to treat the Ner Chanukah with respect. And if you're going to use the light of the Ner Chanukah for your own purposes, in this case to be able to discern whether you have this coin or that coin, that is insulting the Ner Chanukah. Now keep in mind that this is Rav Asi. Rav Asi is not Rav. Rav, according to the Baal HaMor, is of the opinion that you can't even use the Ner Chanukah for a mitzvah. But now we're in the sheet of Rav Asi. Rav Asi understands and classifies Ner Chanukah as a classical, what we call Chefet Shal Mitzvah. It doesn't have the status of Hegdesh, of Ner Shebe Migdash. But nevertheless, in every Chefet Shal Mitzvah, we can't insult the mitzvah by using it for our purposes. So imagine this would be the most extreme case, the most dramatic case of insulting the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Let's say I want to smoke a cigarette. Okay, I don't know if we have any Canadians over here in the audience. No? No Canadians? Okay. Because today you can smoke other things, you know. You don't have to smoke a cigarette. And he takes his cigarette and he lights it up with the Ner Chanukah. That would be an insult to the Ner Chanukah. And comes along Rabbi Yehuda Rav Asi and he says, not only when he's on top of the Ner and he's actually detracting from the Ner, is he violating this Isur of Ishtamshus b'mitzvah? But even if he's at a distance from the Ner Chanukah, and he's enjoying the benefit of the light of the Ner Chanukah, and he's counting his coins, and he's classifying them based on the Ner Chanukah, that also is a benefit from the Ner Chanukah that insults the Ner Chanukah. So Amrisu kameh the Shmuel. Okay, Amrisu, when they told this over to Shmuel, Shmuel got very upset about this. Amali, Shmuel turns to Rav Asi and he says, "V'chiner kedusha yeshba." This is not an insult to the Ner. If you were to classify the Ner as kedusha, that we said was the sheet of Rav in the way that Baal HaMor interpreted, then Enochinami, you're not allowed to have any benefit from the Ner Chanukah, even if it doesn't insult the Ner Chanukah, because it's like the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. But Shmuel is not operating with the assumption that Ner Chanukah has the status of Ner Shebe Mikdash. It doesn't have any kedusha. It's a heftzah shel mitzvah. And Shmuel challenges the premise of Rav Asi that by counting one's coins at a distance from the Ner Chanukah, he's insulting the Ner Chanukah. He's just getting a side benefit from the light, the diffused light in the room that was generated by the Ner Chanukah. But he's not in any way insulting or detracting the Ner Chanukah. So therefore Shmuel doesn't accept Rav Asi's premise that if I were to count my mos at a distance from the Ner Chanukah, I would be insulting the Ner. Maskif lo Rav Yosef. I'm going to show you that when it comes to a mitzvah, we have to treat it with the utmost respect, even though it doesn't have Kedusha. How do I prove this to you, says Rav Yosef? And here he's attacking Shmuel. V'chidam Kedusha Yeshba. when a person shechts an oaf, he slaughters a bird or a chaya, and he now has a mitzvah of what's called kisui hadam, and this is based on a parasha in Vayikra, Perek Yud Zayin. The Torah says, "Ish asher yotzud seid chaya o oaf, asher ye ochel." It's a kosher bird. V'shafach es domo v'kiso bi ofar. He's obligated to take ofar and cover over the dam. The dam itself is not something that has kedusha to it, and yet we have to treat it with the utmost respect. The sanya, we have a brisa, and the brisa says the following: that v'shafach v'kiso. What is the Torah trying to convey when it uses these two words, contiguous one to the other, v'shafach, which means that as a result of the shechita, the dam is nishpach, it spills onto the ground, and then it says v'kisa, and you have to cover it. What's this equation here that the Torah is establishing between the v'shafach, meaning the shechita, and the kisui adam? And the Braisa establishes the following rule: b'mesh shafach yichasa, the same hand that he used to shecht the animal, in this case the chayo or the oaf, is yechas adam. He's got to use his arm, his hand, to cover over. Shelo yechasenu beregel. He's not allowed to use his foot to push the ofar on top of the dam. And why is that? The Bryce explains, because we have to treat the dam, insofar as it's in the context of the mitzvah of kisu, with the utmost respect. Shelo yehu mitzvos bezuyos olav. He shouldn't have a sense of bizui, of sort of like disdain for the mitzvah. You know, he kicks the dirt and he covers the dam for kisi adam. That's mitzvos bezuyos olav. Hachinami here too, so claims Rav Yosef, to support the position of Rav Asi, he should not use the candle, the light of the Ner Chanukah, for the sake of counting his mos, shelo yu mitzvos bezuyos olav, that he's treating the Ner Chanukah as if it was a secular, mundane object, and he's not treating it with the utmost respect that a mitzvah deserves. So the bottom line here is that according to the way Rav Yosef interprets Rav Asi, anytime you treat a cheftza shel mitzvah as if it was an object, like any other object, you know, a mundane secular object, and you benefit from it without paying attention and recognizing that this is a cheftza shel mitzvah, then that's considered a violation of lo yu mitzvos bezuyos olav. Again, according to Shmuel, that's not considered bizui. That's not considered insulting. I didn't take away, I didn't detract from the Ner itself. I didn't come close to the Ner to light my cigarette from the Ner. But according to Rav Asi and Rav Yosef, this is considered bizui mitzvah. Why? Because if you don't treat the mitzvah with the utmost respect, and rather you treat it as if it was a regular object, you benefit from it, That's lacking in the awe and the respect that you have to have for a mitzvah, and that's a violation of the pasuk v'shafach v'kisa. And the Rishonim point out that since this halacha of shelo yu mitzvos bezuyos olav is derived from a pasuk in Chumash that defines the mitzvah of kisui adam, this halacha is a doraisa halacha. And on a Torah level, you're not allowed to have any sort of bizayon in which you treat the mitzvah as a secondary kind of object, as if it was your buddy, you know, your friend. You know, you could use it in any way, any way you choose. And yesterday, this was the last point that we made in the Shia, was that the Rambam adds another element. He says that when you respect a mitzvah, you're really respecting God who commanded you in this mitzvah. So the object itself is only a medium, it's an intermediary to bring you to the state of Kavod Hashem. And to use Kavod Hashem for your purposes and take this mitzvah, which is the Ner Chanukah, which is Kavod Hashem, which is now, so to speak, a representation of the Ratzon, of the will of God, and now you want to use it for your purposes, for secular purposes, then you're really making an announcement, a statement that you're using it as if it were a regular Ner, a regular candle that you lit for the sake of illumination so that you could take a look at your coin.
In his right mind, invented Chanukah gelt that you give the kids as you light the Chanukah candles, and what do? They count the gelt to make sure they've all got the right amount.
Do they use the Ner Chanukah? Hopefully they don't use the Ner
Chanukah.
Hopefully we have electricity. That's why the Gemara says, if you recall, the Gemara says that you have to add another candle to the Ner Chanukah. Why? So there are different shitas, but many Rishonim say that if you benefit from the Ner, and you, Chas V'Shalom, are in jeopardy of violating the Iser of Bizui Mitzvah, then we're going to say that you're not benefiting from the Ner Chanukah, you're benefiting from the extra candle. That's and that Shabbos. Extra candle is not a Ner Chanukah.
That's the Shabbos for the extra candle?
And that's what we call the Shabbos. Now, I don't know if you need a Shabbos. If you turn on the electricity, that's just as good as a Shabbos. Maybe it's even better. I don't want to insult any Shabboshim, but if you turn on the electricity, then the room is filled with light. And then any benefit that you get, again, all this applies only from a distance. That's why, Alan, I'm going to insist that the children, if they're counting their Chanukah guilt, they remain at a distance from the Ner Chanukah. Then you could say they're using electric lights. Or alternatively, if they get a little closer to the Ner Chanukah, then we're going to assume they use the Shamash. But Enoch Inami, if they were to use the candles themselves, let's say the Shamash went out, and they want to benefit from the candles to read, to discern the different coins and count the coins, that would be a problem. Yeah, now, what's the source for Chanukah guilt, by the way? I'm afraid it may come from a different source. I don't know.
I heard that.
Yeah.
One of the things the Greeks did was they forbade the Jewish economy.
So the Chanukah guilt is a statement, is a demonstration of our financial independence. We have cast off the yoke of the Yavanim in the financial area. That, by the way, would support the Rambam Shita. The Rambam Shita is that Chanukah is a day of Simcha. Now, the Lavush, who lived 5 centuries ago, says that no, Purim is a day of Simcha. The Rambam is wrong. And here's where the Lavush makes his famous breakthrough that you all know, maybe you just don't know it's the Lavush. His name is Rav Mordechai Yaffe, he lived 5 centuries ago. He says that Purim is a celebration of the guf, of the physical body, because it was laharog lahashmid alavim. Chanukah is a celebration of the neshama, of the spirituality, and therefore there's no simcha. Because simcha, according to Lavush, only applies when the body has to, you know, the body is going to be rewarded by eating and drinking. That only applies when the guf was saved, and that applies to Purim exclusively. But in Chanukah, it's all spiritual, and therefore there's no physical, how shall I say, expression or kiyum of su'uda and mishta and simcha and so forth and so on. But if you're going to say that and this is what the Rambam says, that there is a mitzvah of simcha, then you're going to assume that the Yavanim attack not only the spiritual religion of the Jewish people, you know, their Torah and their mitzvahs, but they also attacked the physical material of the Jewish people. They try to confiscate their possessions. The Rambam adds that they attacked the banos, you know, the young maidens of Israel, and they violated them. This is all a physical. So we're arguing here against the Lavush. The good news is that if we accept the Rambam's view of Simcha, then wow, that means that all of our parties, you know, that we get together, again, if you're going to have meat, then you have to make sure the sufganiyot are parva, not milchiks, right? So you can get two different types. The best sufganiyot are milchiks, in my opinion. But in this case, if you want to be mekayim the Rambam sheet of Simcha on Chanukah, then make sure you sufganiyot that you serve for dessert of parviyot.
The first.
The mitzvah of not using the light is only for the first half an hour.
Oh, so that's going to be a major machlokas. You see, in Ner Chanukah, we really have the following complexity, and all of the halachas of Ner Chanukah always come down to this complexity. There are two dimensions to Ner Chanukah. There's what's called a Maisa Hadloka, and then there's something called a Ner Dolok, that the light itself is lit. Now, assuming that even after a half hour, again, this is a major assumption on my part, and you can throw rotten tomatoes at me, but I would say the following, that even after the half hour, there still is a Ner Dolok. What do I mean? People are still coming out onto the streets, especially in contemporary life. Right, the movie theaters are still active, and the latest round of the movie is at 12 midnight. The throngs of people coming out of the movie theater. So the Brisker Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zev HaLevi Salvechik, said that the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes is to keep the Ner going until the last movie closes. In other words, there's a continuous mitzvah of Ner Dolok.
Could you actually use movies?
Yeah, in those days. Because again, today we have other things you could talk about to go on even into, through the wee hours of the night. But at the time of the Brisker Rebbe, Yerushalayim was more of a quiet kind of town, except for election day, I guess. And the latest time that throngs of people would be, the latest time on the clock that you'd find throngs of people in the public areas was when the last movie, which was called Eden, Gan Eden, that was the name of the movie theater. Later on it became the center for, I think, the Labor Party here. Anyway, when that last movie was over, let's say at 12 midnight, I'm just throwing out a number, that's when the mitzvah of Pirsum Nes terminates. But according to this approach, and again, it's a very iffy approach, not everyone's going to buy into this, it's not just the half hour. It's as long as the Ner goes. You know, some people fill up a tremendous volume of oil into their Ner. And you might say to them, why are you doing such a thing? It's only a half hour. Why do you need so much oil? But it comes out according to this approach that the Ner Dolok is also a part and parcel or an extension of the kingdom of Ner Chanukah, because it extends the Pirsum HaNes way into the later hours beyond the half hour. Then the Ner still retains its status as a Ner Chanukah, a Ner Mitzvah. So I'm not sure if all the poskim are going to allow you to put out the Ner or to benefit from the Ner after the first half hour. So B'li Neder, we'll take that up under a separate, maybe tomorrow, B'li Neder, but that's going to be a big deal in the Shulchan Aruch amongst the poskim if after the half hour you're allowed to benefit. Okay, Rabbi, say, B'li Neder. Yeah, go ahead, Don.
If the candle is burning 24-7 in the base of Mikdash, what's the half hour based on?
Well, you're asking the following, if you don't mind my reformulating your question. If you all like the Baal HaMor, and we attach the Raivah to that Shita, that the status of the Ner, Ner Chanukah is equal to Ner Shebe Migdash, then why shouldn't we keep the Ner Chanukah going for 24-7? So first of all, you should know, and I mentioned this in the past, there's a machlokas between the Rambam and all the other Rishonim about Ner Shebe Migdash. All the other Rishonim hold that the mitzvah of Ner Shebe Migdash is only belayla, it's only at night. During the day, there's what's called a different mitzvah, it's called Hatovas HaNer, which means preparing the Ner for the next night. It's only the Rambam who has another interpretation of the Pasuk, and he assumes that when the Torah uses the word Marocha, it refers to lighting, the light has to go for 24 hours. And this sheet of the Rambam has to be understood, because in Halacha, there's no such thing as lighting a candle during the day. That itself, by definition, is a contradiction in terms, in halachic terms. I don't mean in physical terms. Solely, I can light a candle now. But if that candle has the status of a candle in Halacha, was Halacha recognized it as such, as a ner? So that has to do with a principle called Shraga Batira Maimahani, that during the light, during the day, the day when there's light and the sun is streaming, you know, we get a streaming sunlight, then a candle doesn't have the status of a candle. So if the Rambam allows for a mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner even by day, like you said, 24-7, then we're going to have to figure out how the Rambam understands that that's a Ner, that you're lighting a Ner. So that really is a difficult Rama. Okay, boy, me name you Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Does everybody have the place?
Yeah.
This question was asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, probably on Sukkos. And the Gemara is going to see if we can create an analogy between Sukkos and Chanukah. Ma'ul istapek minoy Sukkah kol Shiva. During the 7 days of Chanukah, am I allowed to enjoy Noi Sukkah? Now, the classical case of Noi Sukkah to beautify and decorate the Sukkah in the old days, again, not today. Today they have all the posters and the streamers and whatever. But back in the old day, the custom was to put fruits on top of the Sukkah, on the Schach. And those fruits were edible. Today they have fake fruits and plastic fruits, you know what I'm talking about? But in those days, they had peros. And now he wants to take one of those fruits. Let's say he's got a pear that's hanging from a pomegranate that's hanging from his sukkah. And is he allowed to eat it? Amar lahu, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi responded, Amru, they said, Hare Amru, Aso lahartos mos keneged Ner Chanukah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi establishes an equation here between Ner Chanukah and Noi Sukkah, that just like in Ner Chanukah, we accept the shita of Rav Asi, which was supported later on by Rav Yosef, that you're not allowed to use the Ner Chanukah to count your coins. And that's considered Bizui Mitzvah, because you're using a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the covenant of God, but rather for your own benefit. If we apply that yardstick to the case of Noi Sukkah, says Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, then if you take the Noi Sukkah and you use it for your own personal purposes, then you're really undermining the Kedusha, so to speak. But well, again, we said it's not Kedusha, but the mitzvah status of the Noi Sukkah. Now, if I were to ask you, in these two mitzvahs, one is Ner Sukkah and the problem of enjoying the Ner Sukkah for your purposes, and the other is Ner Chanukah, where you want to enjoy the Ner, the Ora HaNer, for your purpose of counting Mos, which one would be primary and which one would be secondary? In other words, which one do you think would teach me, and which one would be the derivation?
Sukkah.
Sukkah should be the one that's primary over here, because Sukkah is a mitzvah d'oraisa. And in fact, the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah derives from a pasuk that a person is not allowed to benefit from the sukkah itself, meaning he's allowed to live in the sukkah, and that's the mitzvah of sukkah, but to take those parts of the sukkah, including the noi sukkah, and use it for his purposes, he's not allowed to do that. And that's a doraisa halacha, as we'll soon see. And the strange thing about Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is that when he was asked the question, can I benefit from the Noi Sukkah, instead of telling him, well, that's a Doraisa, that for sure is prohibited, he said, well, I'm going to compare it to Chanukah. And if in Chanukah you're not allowed to use the light for your own purposes, then in Sukkah you can't use the Noi Sukkah for your purposes. That's a very strange thing. He's turning the derivative, the secondary, into the teacher, into the primary.
Because if you can't do the secondary, you certainly can't do the primary.
Okay, so let's see if that's going to be true, Asha. Let's read the Gemara. The Omer Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, I don't understand what Rabbi Shimon Levi is talking about. Mari Davram. Mari Davram is an exclamation of amazement. You know, in Shas, whenever you hear something that drives you crazy because it makes no sense, you yell out, God in heaven. Who's God in heaven? He is the master of Avram. Right? Because Avram Avinu was the first to recognize God at a time of idolatry, and he declared that Hashem is the Adon HaKol. So when you want to talk about Ribono Shel Olam, again in the Gemara's context, that you mention Morei Davram, that's just an expression to say that I don't understand what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is saying. Why? Toli Tanya B'Delo Tanya. When you're asked a halachic question, don't answer it with something that's not explicit, when there is something that is explicit. Tully, you make dependent something that's Tanya, that's explicit, that's in a Braisa or a Mishnah, and you Tully, you make it dependent on Dilo Tanya, something that's not in a Mishnah, and that's not in a Braisa. Sukkah Tanya, Chanukah Lo Tanya. In the case of Sukkah, we have an explicit Braisa that tells you you're not allowed to benefit from any of the Noi Sukkah. In the case of Chanukah, we don't have any such benefit. It's just any brisa to that effect. It's only a statement of Rav Asi. So why would you answer a question which is the answer to which is explicit in a brisa by quoting Rav Asi, who's called Lo Tanya? So Asher, before we get to your point, I just want to emphasize that there are certain rules and regulations in which the Gemara operates with, and that those are the rules that govern what's called Horas Chachamim. Are we familiar with that phrase? Should I write it on the board? Horas Chachamim. Horas Hadin. Horas Hadin means that a Chacham who's asked the question is bound by certain rules as to how he answers that question. For example, let's say two people ask a question. Who does he answer first? Who gets priority? There are many complicated halachas of that. They all come down to horah. Horah means when you answer a question, that's just not a simple matter. You're generating a horah. In fact, if you belong to a bezdin, that horah takes on a whole different status in halacha. But even though Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was asked this question, I'm not sure he was asked as part of a bezdin, that I don't know, but nevertheless it's Horas Chacham. Now, one of the rules that govern Horas Chacham it's a technical rule, and it has nothing to do with Musar, has nothing to do with the rabbi's drush on Shabbos to inspire the people. This is a technical rule, and the technical rule is that which is explicit in the Tannaic literature, meaning there's a Mishnah or a Brice that addresses this very question, that has to be quoted to give the Horah. You can't skip over a Mishnah or a Brice and quote an Amora, which is the Gemara, the Talmud, when there's an explicit Brice that addresses that question. Is everybody clear about that? Because we have laws of what's called Misora. Are you familiar with that word? Mm-hmm. How would you translate that into English?
Tradition.
A transmission, correct. And there are laws of transmission. Now, this has nothing to do with automobiles, but the laws of transmission with regard to halacha are very strict laws, that rules and obligations that you have to oblige. One of those rules is that in the Mesorah, we have something called a Tana, and then we have somebody called an Amora. In fact, I'll tell you another secret. An Amora is not allowed to argue against the Tana unless he has another Tana to support his opinion. The Amoraim belong to what's considered halachically in Hilchos Horas Din, an entirely different historical, chronological period of time. There's the period of the Tanoim, there's the period of the Amoraim, we're going to have a period of Gaonim, we're going to have a period of Rishonim. All this is very, very strict and governed by the rules of the Mesorah. In fact, the Gemara says that Ravina Rav Ashi Sof Mesorah, because Ravina Rav Ashi were the last ones who had a tradition that was a Mesorah that was Ish Mipi Ish, that went all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam spends, shall I say, wastes a lot of ink, but he uses a lot of ink in his introduction to the Mishneh Torah to trace 40 generations from Moshe Rabbeinu all the way to Ravina Rav Ashi. The Gemara says Ravina Rav Ashi is so far raw. After Ravina Rav Ashi, no one could argue on the Gemara. If somebody today wants to argue against the Gemara, he's in deep trouble. Because Ravina Rav Ashi, who compiled the Gemara, they were the last of the Amoraim, that's called so far raw. No one could come with a raw to argue against the Gemara. Again, for this we'd have to spend hours and hours to see how this all fleshes out. So therefore, although, you know, you might say that Rav Yeshua ben Levi had all sorts of considerations here and all sorts of reasoning why he wanted to emphasize the Ner Chanukah here in this context, but nevertheless he's violating the laws of Horah. That's called Toli Tanya B'Lo Tanya. Osher, do you want to add anything? Okay. That's what I think, that Toli Tanya V'lo Tanya has nothing to do with morals and ethics and castigation and rebuke and inspiration. All those things belong to a drasha on Shabbos before Musaf. But when it comes to Horas Din, when somebody asks you a question in Halacha and you want to give them a Horah, you're bound by certain rules. And one of those rules is that if there's a Brisa, you have to quote that Brisa. And you can't skip over the Brisa, which is Tanoic, for the sake of a statement of the Amoraim, in this case, the statement of Rav Asi. Now, how does the Gemara know, Rav Yosef in this case, how does he know that there's a Braisa? Now, this is pretty amazing, because does anybody know, you know, there's something called perfect vision. What's it called? In my day, it's called 20/20 vision. They still use that term, or am I outdated?
Yeah.
Right? So what was the vision of Rav Yosef? Anybody know? 20/20? He was blind. Rav Yosef was blind. That's very interesting. Not only that, Rav Yosef forgot a lot of his Torah. And he spent a major portion of his efforts to try to remember what he had forgotten. And it's amazing that he quotes a brisa verbatim. And here's the brisa, the sanya, sichacha kihilchasa. Okay, so we're not talking about a posel sukkah, we're talking about a kosher sukkah in which there's schach. Once there's schach, and it was done kihilchasa, then the laws of sukkah now kick in. Ve'itra means he crowned it, so to speak, bikramim and sdinim mitsuyarim. So if anybody ever asks you, is there a source in the Toradon for art, tell him this brisa. Because what is Siddina Mitsuyarim? The word Mitsuyarim is a tzayar, which means an artist. And they used to have artists who beautified Siddinim. Siddinim are, I guess you'd call it sheets. Canvas. What would you call it?
Canvas.
Canvases, or...
His wife also.
Was also an artist?
Right.
And...
Yeah,
no?
Anymore.
Okay. And in this case, you beautify the sukkah. So what are the standards? You know, if I want to beautify my sukkah, what book should you tell me to read with the halachas of how to beautify the sukkah? There ain't no such book. Because that's art. Art means creative. V'tolaba egozim afarsikim shkedim v'rimonim. He had hanging from the top of his schach all sorts of types of fruits and nuts. Egozim might be walnuts, afarsikim might be pears, and shkedim might be almonds. Again, all these things change from time to time. Rimonim, we know what rimonim are, because that's one of the shevaminim, shenishtabchum in Eretz Yisrael, that's pomegranates. Uparkile anovim. Anovim are grapes. Now, if you find grapes on a cluster, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay, on a cluster, that's called parkile. Parkile is a synonymous term with eshkol. Have you heard of an eshkol?
Yeah.
That's what the Meraglim brought back from the land of Israel. When they scattered the land, they brought eshkol. Okay? Nothing to do with the prime minister, the Levi eshkol. But anyway, there were eshkolos. And they put these grapes up on the top of their sukkah. And it beautified the sukkah. It was like a keter. It was like a crown over the sukkah. And then, what they did was, this is amazing, they took glass vessels. Now, again, today glass is dime a dozen, as cheap as they come. But in those days, glass was a very expensive commodity. And they filled up these glass jars with yenos, with wines, with shmonim, with oil, with slossos, which means solus is very fine, refined flour. And this too would adorn their sukkah. That's called noi sukkah. Says the Raisa, Osur listapik me anad motzei yom tov achron shel chag. You're not allowed to benefit from any of these beautiful objects until after Yontif Achron Shel Chag. Again, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. What this means is that we're now at a breakthrough point and we're introducing a very new concept which is called Muktza Lemitzvasa or Huktza Lemitzvasa. Now, we know that Muktza means something that's designated for a purpose that cannot be used on Shabbos. That's called muktzah. The opposite of muktzah would be when you designate it for something that's permissible on Shabbos. Like, for example, kalim in most cases, or ochlim, that's not muktzah. Now we have a new definition of muktzah, and you shouldn't confuse the two. That's called huktzah l'mitzvah, so when you take an object and you dedicate it exclusively for a mitzvah. Once you do that, then you're not allowed to benefit from it. You can't use it for your own purposes. Now, Dr. Plotsky asked me, what happens after the Ner Chanukah lasted for a half hour? So I'm going to ask you the same question in the case of Noi Sukkah. What happens after Sukkah is over? And what's the answer?
Do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want with it, because it's no longer Huktzah L'Mitzvah. It's only Huktzah L'Mitzvah for 7 days. And why do I emphasize this? Because the Brisa says something that's it's an eye-opener. Ad lemotzei achron shel chag. Correct? Now, motzei yontif achron shel chag is not the end of the 7 days. Which chag are we referring to here? Shemini Atzeres. So we're talking about 8 days now. And again, don't think of chutzlar. That's going to just confuse you. Just focus on Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, there are 7 days of Sukkot and 1 day of Shmini Atzeres. You know, there's no ninth day over here. But why do I apply Huktzel Mitzvoso to Shmini Atzeres when on Shmini Atzeres there's no mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah? I've already terminated that mitzvah. On the contrary, I leave the sukkah after the seventh day, and on the eighth day I go back into my house. And Rashi, by the way, in Masechta Sukkah, on what's called Pazar Kashav, those are the six differences between Shmini Atzeres and Sukkah, Rashi says that one of the six fundamental differences is that on Shmini Atzeres you go back into the house. And this created a tremendous problem in Chutz Laaretz, because, I don't know if you know the minhag in Chutz Laaretz, is on Shmini Atzeres they make kiddush in the Sukkah. Some even eat in the Sukkah. And that's a big problem, because that undermines the Kedusha of Shmini Atzeres. And the Gemara works very hard to try to work through this very complicated sugya. How can I extend Yontif of Sukkos into Shmini Atzeres when Shmini Atzeres requires that I leave the Sukkah? And how can I sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres? Well, a whole sugya we could have. And Chabad, you know, they have them in Hungary. And this is a really big, big, big sugya. But be that as it may, we're talking now about Eretz Yisrael. Shmini Atzeres in Eretz Yisrael has no status other than Shmini Atzeres. It's not Sukkos at all. There's no eating or making Kiddush in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Leave that, if you've made Aliyah, leave that for your past. It's you've started a new leaf here. And in that new leaf, you will not make Kiddush on Shmini Atzeres in the Sukkah. Forget about the Sukkah. Go back into your house and enjoy your house. That's Shmini Atzeres. So why can't I take the pear or the pomegranate off my schach on Shmini Atzeres? Why does it say in the Braisa Ad Motzei Yontif Achron Shel Chag? And the word Chag here is a reference to Shmini Atzeres. So Tosvis Divya Maskel Asur, this Tosvis here, addresses this question, and he applies a principle called Migu. Okay, now what is Migu? Migu is a term that is very high profile in Muktzah. And it refers to what's called Bein Hashmashos. Now, watch what happens. Bein Hashmashos is the twilight period after sunset, before the stars come out, and it has the status of Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila. Any prohibition that applies on a Doraisa level because of the Kedushas Hayom, the sanctity of the day, as a Shabbos, as a Yontif, extends into Bein Hashmashos. Why? Because we don't know whether or not Bein Hashmashos is Shabbos or Yontif. So because of the Sofik, we have to treat it L'chumra, and all these Isurim apply. Now, Shmini Atzeres will begin with Bein Hashmashos. Why? Because since it's already after sunset, and I don't know whether or not that period of time is Laila, I have to treat it L'chumra as if it's Laila. However, and here's the paradox, Sukkos ends, meaning the seventh day, after Shmini Atzeres. I'm sorry, after Bein Hashmashos. Meaning that Bein Hashmashos is now an overlap of both Sukkos and Shmini Atzeres. Again, once the stars come out, geendigt, finito, I have completed Sukkos, say goodbye to the Sukkah until next year, 51 weeks down the line. But until the stars come out, I'm in a situation of Bein Hashmashos, and I have to extend the day, the seventh day of Sukkos, into Bein Hashmashos, because it's Sofek Yom. And on the side that it's Yom, it's still Sukkos. If it's still Sukkos, then I'm not allowed to benefit from the Noi Sukkah for my own personal purposes. And that's called Migu. Why? Because, alright, I grant you that during Bein Hashmashos of Motzei Sukkos, I'm not allowed to benefit from the Noi Sukkah, because I have to treat it as if it's Yom. But once the stars come out, as we said before, Sukkos is over. It's history for now, for this year. So why does it say that I have to wait till Motzei, what's the language? Motzei Yotav Achron Shalcha. I have to add another 24 hours before I'm allowed to eat that pear. Why? So that's called Migu. What Migu means is that We treat a day as an entity, indivisible. You can't take it apart. Since the status of Muktza regarding this noise sukkah extends into Bein HaShmoshos, and that Bein HaShmoshos is Yom as far as the Iser Noi is concerned, I mean lowest topic Bein HaNoi because it's the seventh day of Sukkot. At the same time, that Bein HaShmoshos is also Laila, meaning we've entered into what? Into Shmini Atzeres. Once we've entered into the Shmini Atzeres and we did an act of Muktza, in other words, we've designated and separated the Noi Sukkah from our use, that status of Muktza extends throughout the entire day of Shmini Atzeres. That's called Migu Diskatsoi Levei Hashmoshes. Anything that is Iskatsoi, that's a conjugation of a verb of Muktza. It's Muktza Bein Hashmoshes because Bein Hashmoshes, I can't use this insofar as it's still the seventh day of Sukkot, so I can't eat the pear. Then that pear continues with its status of Muktza all the way till Motzei Shmini Atzeres, because Shmini Atzeres now, once in its inception at the time of Bein HaShmoshes, it was Muktza, the Easter Muktza, the status of Muktza continues for the entire 24 hours. And that's because Bein HaShmoshes is considered the kickoff of that holiday, of that holy day. Now,
but we've already said farewell to the Sukkah and apostle the Sukkah.
Well, I don't know about possibly the sukkah. You know, it's yontif, so I wouldn't mess around with the sukkah on yontif. But I'm saying, if you want to take the food, right, the pears, that pear l'chor is not muktza, right? It's edible. It's not like taking apart the sukkah, which would be a very complicated business. But I want to take that fruit and eat it for my purposes. The answer is it's muktza. What kind of muktza? It's the muktza of l'mitzvah. So it was designated for a mitzvah, and therefore I can't eat it, I can't use it for my own purposes. Now we're going to extend that status of muktza on this pair for the entire 24 hours of Shmini Atzeres until Motzi Yontav Achron Shalchad, till you make Avdola at the end of Shmini Atzeres. Why? Because since it had the status of muktza going into Shmini Atzeres, i.e. at Bein HaShmoshos, it becomes muktza for the entire day. So for example, let's say this Friday evening before the stars come out, I designate, you know, this object as a pen, you know, let's say. Okay, I'm getting into complicated issues here because a pen is not really muktza, it comes on the cliche of lakalisa, but let's say it was muktza, right? Okay? Now, on Shabbos itself, I have a change of heart. I want to use it for a certain purpose. Like, it's very strange, the Gemara has chatzotzos. Chatzotzos are trumpets. Now, trumpet is a musical instrument. That's antithetical to Shabbos. But on the other hand, the trumpet could be used, believe it or not, to feed a baby because it has a hollow side in it. You know, it's like a straw. So let's say Seisach HaKochavim is at 7. At 5 to 7, I designate this object for musical purposes. That's called Bein HaShmoshes. Maybe I made a mistake here. Did I get the numbers wrong? What I meant to say is that Shkia is at 7. At 5 after 7, this is a trumpet. Correct? Tomorrow morning, on Shabbos in the morning, I want to feed my child and I want to use the trumpet. Can I do so? Again, there are all sorts of dinim. Don't walk out of here with any conclusions, because any conclusion you come to about muktza is always going to be wrong. It's very complicated. But theoretically, am I allowed to change the status of this muktza? The answer is no. Why? Because after Shkia, entering into Bein HaShmoshes, it was muktza. Once it had the status of muktza, because I pushed it away from Shabbos, in that period, that slice of time called Bein HaShmoshes, it retains its status of muktza for the entire period of Shabbos. That's called migu. Migu diskatsoi l'Bein HaShmoshes, diskatsoi l'kuliyom. And the same principle of migu is going to apply to a chefetz shel mitzvah, in this case, noi sukkah, and therefore I add another day, I attach another day to the Isur Muktza, in which I'm not allowed to take this pear and eat it, and that's going to be Shmini Atzeres. And why? Because in Bein HaShmoshes, which is Motzei Shvi Shel Pesach, but it's also the kickoff of Shmini Atzeres, it was Muktza. Then the Braisa says, but V'im hisna lehem hakolifi tno. This is fascinating. When you put up the pomegranates on the top of your schach, you assumed that the pomegranate would remain as nice sukkah for the entire chag. But let's say you made it tonight, and you explicitly said the following condition, that even though it's muktzah for the first 3 days of the chag, however, I want to use it for the balance of the chag. Now, tnai is effective over here. Why? Because this whole din of muktzah is based on the fact that you designated it as muktzah l'mitzvaso. But if you put a condition in the muktzah l'mitzvaso, and you made a stipulation that at a certain point you want to use it for your own purposes, then you're allowed to use it. Now on this, we're going to have an entire long discussion here based on a sugyan beitza, but that we're going to leave for another time. Let me just conclude the sugya by reading another six words. El Amar Rav Yosef Avuan Dekulu Dam. Says Rav Yosef that, you know what? Rav Yeshua ben Levi made a boo-boo here by saying that Noi Sukkah depends upon Mos, depends upon the Iser of Hartzos Mos in their Hanukkah. That was a boo-boo. That was Toli Tanya below Tanya. But if you want to go back to the original source and the derivation of the Iser of Noi Sukkah, it's going to be Dam. What does it mean by Dam? Remember we had two words in the Pasuk in the parish of Kisi Adam. We have V'shafach V'kisa. And V'shafach V'kisa is going to teach me that you're not allowed to kick the dirt and cover the Dam. That's going to be my paradigm case for not using any Cheftish or Mitzvah without the utmost kavod, meaning treating it as it's dedicated to God and not using it for your own purposes. So basically, according to Rav Yosef, and this was the same Rav Yosef who quoted the Braisa earlier of Kisi Adam, Rav Yosef says that Kisi Adam, which is a Doraisa, that tells me, Shaloyu Mitzvah Bezuyasalav, meaning using a mitzvah for your own benefit is prohibited, because as long as it's dedicated as for a mitzvah, that's what it's dedicated for, you're not allowed to have your own benefit from it. From that din, which is derived from v'shafach v'kisa in dam, we're going to derive A, the conclusion that you're not allowed to be mistapik from noy sukkah kol shiva, and B, the conclusion that you're not allowed to count your mos keneged the or of ner chan. Okay then? So we'll stop here. If there are any questions, now's a good time to ask.
Yeah, sure.
And if anyone needs a lift to the OU center, let me know. Yeah.
I've got a lot of guests coming up. I want to use my sukkah. Right. I'm living in Eretz Yisrael.
It's not so posh, because what you're doing is you're adding another day of sukkahs. Now, normally, when you add another day of sukkahs, we have a principle called sukkaso areva olav, which means he's not adding another day of sukkahs. He's just enjoying the benefit of his sukkah. So, for example, I just passed by today, maybe it was today or yesterday, I don't remember, and I saw that somebody had not yet taken apart their sukkah. If I want to go eat in that sukkah, that's not called bal tosif. I'm not adding another day to the mitzvah of sukkahs. I'm just simply a revolov. You know, it's a sunny, hot day, and I enjoy the sukkah. But when it comes to Simchas Torah, as you say, now we have a problem. Why? Because as I mentioned before, in the name of Rashi, the essence of Simchas Torah, the transition between sukkahs and Simchas Torah, is leaving the sukkah and entering into the house. If you're remaining in the sukkah, then you're being pogea, meaning you're to some extent undermining the very essence of the Kedusha of Shemini Atzeres, because that Kedusha is to go back into your house. And there are deep philosophical ideas that underlie this whole concept of going back into your house, meaning you were in your house to begin with, you went into Golus for 7 days in the sukkah, and the purpose and the impact of those 7 days of Golus is going to spill over into your bias again. You have to go back to the bias, enjoy this holiday, having been uplifted by the Golus. But now to stay in Golus for another day, that undermines the whole message of Shmini Atzeres. Again, that's on a philosophical level. You know, I mixed halacha and philosophy.
Okay, so I was taught to puzzle the sukkah in the afternoon, so that you could use it. But you're saying, implying
on Shmini Atzeres itself, you could have a problem of a malacha called soser.
No,
Say again?
Hoshana Rabbah. The end of
you're talking...
Rabbah. End of Hoshana Rabbah.
Hoshana Rabbah. Shoot.
An answer there.
Yeah. No, well, that's not a block of Soser, but... Yeah. What do you say, Menachem?
No. I know people like, if you have a kava, and you put your kava for the rain on at the end of Sukkah, so you can use the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeret, but I know people here who posel the, but how can you posel the Sukkah without...
Take
some of your. All right, so do me a favor, Alan, if you can, raise this question tomorrow.